Welcome back to Super Tati's for Parshas Vayikra. We'll start with some stories. The first story is about Rav Zalman of Vilna, Rav Zalmala. So one of the times he was sitting and learning by the Gra, the Goyim, they started a new subject, and Rav Zalmala started crying. And he cried in front of all the Talmidim, and the Talmidim were very, very surprised, and they asked him, "What are you crying about?" And Rav Zalmala said, "How can we start a new subject and try to understand a new subject where I haven't understood completely and appropriately the subject that we're learning now, right? I'm still trying to understand it correctly. So that's why I'm crying, because how am I going to be able to understand and start this new subject? Because I'm still tarud trying to understand being partial to partial right here." This next story is a story about Chaim Shmulevitz, who is the head of the Mir Yeshiva. We all know him from Sichas Musar. He once got up at a celebratory event and began by basically exclaiming his own greatness. He said, "I am one of the great tzaddikim of our door. I am a big Talmud Chacham," and everybody was taken aback. And then he continued saying, "It's true, I have chisronos, I have flaws, but generally speaking, I'm quite all right." And then he included with an emotional statement, "And this is what every person needs to think about themselves." Stories, it's really important for us. It's quoted in the Sefer Arvei Nachal. People maintain pride because they look at themselves from an overall perspective, convincing themselves that they're generally good. And the way to deal with this arrogance is cutting that into little pieces, right? Is that you stop looking at the whole picture and then you start dissecting one spiritual state, limb by limb, commandment by commandment, you know, all the things, and then you can actually grow. So that's two different sides, which you kind of see a little bit, maybe could be part of that story. So on the night of Shabbos Bereishis, there's a story about the Divrei Chaim of Tzanz. So he poured wine for Kiddush, and then he stood there, deep in thought, holding the kos for many hours before he said the bracha. And then he explained later what was happening. He said, "Look, a merchant was traveling, and, you know, he's going out and doing business. He focuses on how much, you know, his business is all the time, but he doesn't have time to do all the cheshbonos of his profits. When he finally gets home, he sits down, and he finally gets to have the Yishuv Hadas to calculate all of his gains." So the same thing happens here. When we get to like the Yom Ha'Orayim, for example, and you have time to start thinking about the mitzvahs and everything, you need to stop and reflect on the same thing. Shabbosos, you know, this is like, it's a first opportunity for us to really get a little bit more time to think and consider. Next story is about Rebbetzin Yosef Scheinberg, Rechaim Pinchas Scheinberg's mother during some times of hardship. So the story is in Ostrowa, Poland, during World War I, and her husband would flee to the United States to avoid the Polish army, and Yosefa was left to raise her two sons in abject poverty. And her big concern was not their physical survival, though, but ensuring that the sons would grow to become a great Talmidei Chacham. And so they found a private tutor, and they found this Melamed, and she undertook this big task. So first thing during midnight, every night, she walked to a nearby village to oversee the milking of cows at a non-Jewish farm, so the milk would be Chol Yisrael. So aside, that's another Mesiras Nefesh. Another Mesiras Nefesh, she would come back in the morning hour, exhausted, to sell the milk in town. And then she gave lots of stuff, despite the fact that she was very, very poor. She would send leftover milk or blankets to the local base medrash to support the men who were learning there. Now, on to a question. So it says in Beis Yud Gimel, it says, V'kol korban mincha b'melech timlach. And Rashi says, well, there was a bris, right, that was made with salt during the 6 days of Bereishis, that the Mayim Tachtonim said that they were going to bring salt on the Mizbeach and the Nisuch Habayim and the Chag, that whole medrash. So the kasha is, why do we need to leave salt on the korban mincha in order to bring it from the Mayim Tachtonim? Don't we already know by menachos, right? Meaning we're trying to do this for the Mayim Tachonim, but all the menachos, they're made with Mayim Poshrim. So if that's true, there already was water with every Korban Mincha. So why do we need to add also that salt if the water is already there? Next, onto a Kutzker, a very interesting thing. So it's famous. Rashi quotes the Mishnah in Menachos that says, Nemar ba'of. It says, for an olas ha'of, reich nechoach la'ashem. And it says, by all of them, in fact. And why is that? It says, regardless of whether or not you do a lot or a little bit, As long as you put your heart to the Shamayim. So here it says the Kotzker, we don't need to talk about the Ani Umami because we know that their heart is completely softened to do for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But really we're talking here to the Ashir that is Marbe, because if they can still have Kavanah L'Hashem Shamayim with all of the wealth that they have, then we know that their Korban is a Reach Nichoach. A couple of altars of Kelm. The first is Adam. There's a Rashi there. It says it's Adam because we need to learn from Adam Rishon. He didn't bring his korbanos from the Gezel, so too we shouldn't. It says, look, when you know you're doing a mitzvah and you know you're not doing it right, i.e. taking it from stealing to be able to give a korban, it's really a loss of emuna, right? It's just showing you don't really care, right? It says that you could also see it in other contexts. It's just somebody wants to do what's right. So that's the concept. If you don't believe that it's right, then you'll be willing to do a kind of a half-hearted job. So the korban is really taking something, says the altar of Kelm, take something you love and deciding that you're going to give it to Hashem. And this is the idea that Rashi says in Shir HaShirim, Antocho Ritzuf Ahava, he says, Mashahim Oavim Nosnin Mishkan, that which they love, they would give to the Mishkan, meaning we always want to give to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Learn from Cain for a moment, okay? So learn from Cain. Cain was a Navi because Hashem spoke with him. And he understood in the Seichel this idea of Karbonos without even being told, but he made this mistake, said, why would a Kadosh Baruch Hu care whether I give a good or a bad Korban? And that is from a bad spot in his heart, meaning to say that sort of doubt is, even for somebody who's on such a high Darga, it is a sign of great malfunction. One other participant we need to talk about with respect to Karbonos is Bilam. Bilam knew to connect his Ratzon to Kadosh Baruch Hu, and that was the Kavana of the Karbonos, but he wanted that Hashem would do his Ratzon, and not that he would do Hashem's Ratzon. And the Iker of all of this is that we're trying to, really to show our Ratzon. So that's why the Rekhanati says that when you bring a Korban, Mis'ale Ratzon HaShafel, you lift up your lowly Ratzon, Mis'karev, the Ratzon HaElyon, you want it to be like the Ratzon HaElyon. Last thing I have for today is the Mivchar HaPinim. He says, Amar Sipur Ksilim Asiri Mavas. When you hear Ksilim, fools talk, these are the bounds of death. Why? Hatir Mar Sarchem B'Chochma. He says, remove your bounds with wisdom. He says, when people are speaking Batala, then it's, not something you want to hear. It's a giant waste of time. And in contradistinction, you say, Vade Tamidei Chachamim, even the Sichas Kulin of Talmidei Chachamim turns out good, and there's going to be something that you get. We know who to hang out with. Thank you for learning with me. Have a wonderful Shabbos.